But we begin with a voice.
My mother fought cancer for almost a decade and died at 56. She held out long enough to meet the first of her grandchildren and to hold them in her arms.
Do you know whose voice that is? In an op-ed piece for our partner, The New York Times, that's actress Angelina Jolie announcing that she's undergone a double mastectomy after learning that she had what doctors call an 87% risk of breast cancer because she carries what's called the BRCA1 gene. Her story in her own words.
My doctors estimated that I had an 87% risk of breast cancer and a 50% risk of ovarian cancer, although the risk is different in the case of each woman. I wanted to write this to tell other women that the decision to have a mastectomy was not easy, but it is one I'm very happy that I made. My chances of developing breast cancer have dropped from 87% to under 5%. I can tell my children that they don't need to fear they will lose me to breast cancer.
It's Angelina Jolie speaking in an op-ed piece that you can read in our partner, The New York Times. Jolie began going through her treatments and surgery back in February of this year, going public today. Joining us now, there's many issues to talk about here this morning. We're also going to hear from someone who's had a very similar experience of Angelina Jolie's. Nita Afarahani is Duke University bioethicist and professor of genome sciences and policy as part of the Presidential Commission for the Study of Bioethical Issues. Nita Afarahani, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Dr. Kevin Hughes, who's a surgical oncologist at Mass General Hospital. Dr. Hughes, thanks so much.
Well, John, thank you.
All right, let's first of all get to the issue of this 87% risk. If women who are hearing this story, and of course Angelina Jolie has a lot of credibility for a whole host of reasons, what do you make of the decision on a preventive basis to have a double mastectomy when you haven't actually been diagnosed with cancer? Nita Afarahani?
So it isn't an unreasonable choice, and in fact, it's a choice that a number of people have made. It is a drastic choice and one that is quite personal, but it's one of the few areas of genetic information that has something that you can do that's actionable. So it is something that has substantially reduced her odds and is not an unreasonable choice for one to make.
Dr. Kevin Hughes, are you concerned that because of her celebrity status that there will be any number of women insisting on doing something that maybe they should be much more cautious about from here on out?
No, I think the opposite. I think her point in doing this was to highlight the BRCA1 and BRCA2 gene mutations. These mutations have an extremely high risk for women to develop breast cancer and cancer of the ovary. Women who have a strong family history, and that's many relatives with breast or ovarian cancer, breast and ovarian cancer at a young age in the 20s or 30s or early 40s, or bilateral breast cancer, these women with a strong family history need genetic testing, and if the test is positive, then they need appropriate management. And that may or may not be bilateral mastectomy, but the point of this, and her point, I believe, was to make people realize if they have a strong family history, genetic testing is very appropriate. If a gene mutation is found, then they need to work with their doctors to find the best management strategy for them.
It's Dr. Kevin Hughes, surgical oncologist at Massachusetts General Hospital. Nita Afarahani, how do you relate the ambiguities in a genetic test of this type with the ambiguities that we've talked so much about regarding mammograms and the potential for false positives there?
So, especially with genetic information right now, there is variability about the quality of the testing. And BRCA1 and 2 are particularly challenging because they fall under the myriad patent, which is pending before the United States Supreme Court right now, as to whether or not other laboratories can test the same gene. So the problems with genetic testing are that there's some variability in the quality of the testing, and there's some difficulty for people to actually interpret and understand the information. So with this particular these particular variants, we have much better information and can provide that information to women who are undergoing these tests, and they can compare it to the risk of false positives and other type of information they get from mammograms and other tests. But the problem about genetic information more broadly is one that's concerning because very few people can actually interpret and understand what it means to have a higher risk odds. It doesn't mean you're going to develop the disease. It doesn't mean that you're going to develop a particular condition. It simply means you're at higher risk, and how you react to such information and understand such information, you know, really requires a lot of education and training.
To both of you, very quickly before we go, do you see this announcement as a good, responsible synthesis of someone with a very public persona and the doctors and medical professionals behind her, and that this has been very responsibly handled and other women can really interpret what's going on here, Nita and then Dr. Hughes?
I think it's a valuable thing to encourage women to understand their risk and to be able to receive and understand their genetic information.
Dr. Hughes?
And by all means, women with a strong family history need to have BRCA1 and BRCA2 testing. Doctors need to be more aware of that. And what Mr. Lee has done is very helpful in getting more people and more doctors aware of this very important test.
Dr. Kevin Hughes is a surgical oncologist at Massachusetts General Hospital. Nita A. Farahani is Duke University bioethicist and professor of genome sciences and policy, part of the Presidential Commission for the Study of Bioethical Issues. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Now, we're asking you for your stories about how learning your genetic information might change your life. How could you act on these kinds of decisions? We'd love to know. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. We'd love to hear your story. You can also go to thetakeaway.org. More on this subject. Stay with us. This is The Takeaway. Joining us now is someone who can give some testimony on this experience that we're trying to evaluate here. Gisela Alvarez is a charge nurse at Mercy Medical Center in Baltimore. Gisela, welcome to the program.
Hi, hello.
How does the experience of Angelina Jolie, as we're learning the details, how does that resonate with your own experience with breast cancer?
Actually, I was shocked. I was getting ready for work this morning, and I was just shocked to hear the news. And I actually had to step back and I said, did I hear the right thing? And once I heard that it was her, it was just quite brave from any woman that goes through this thing, and especially when it's a choice like that that she has. I think it was shocking, and at the same time, I thought that it was a pretty brave thing to go through.
Well, it's brave for her to be so public about it. Obviously, it's brave for her to take this decision when she's, at least diagnostically speaking, in a much different situation than you were in. Can you describe what motivated your double mastectomy and then try to compare it with the circumstances that we're learning about to Angelina Jolie?
Well, you know, I was diagnosed with breast cancer on the one side of my breast. And then part of the tissues, when they take the samples, one of the tissues that they got was also lobular carcinoma in situ, which is a precancerous condition. It's not cancer, but it means that you could potentially develop it in the other breast. You have a higher percentage of developing cancer, like 4%. And I'm a true believer in quality of life. I did not want to live my life worrying about the other breast and going through all the MRIs and the checks every 6 months and all that. So I decided to go with a double mastectomy and have a little peace of mind. Now, getting to that decision is absolutely heart-wrenching. I cannot imagine what she had to go through, especially she doesn't have cancer. But she knows that she has a much higher percentage of chance to develop it later. I mean, it's just the decision to come to lose your breast is not an easy one, to say the least. I can imagine what she was going through. And I admire her for it because I would have done the same thing.
Well, let's look at your experience and her experience. I mean, on the one level, the mastectomy that you had in the one breast that was diagnosed with cancerous tissue, that's very different from what she's going through. But
absolutely,
your decision to remove the second breast is preventive, just like what she's done having this double mastectomy. Take me through how you, as someone who's a medical professional, evaluate these probabilities that doctors love to talk about, but in real life, man, it's scary stuff.
It is absolutely scary. I mean, and this is the thing is your relationship with your surgeon and your breast surgeon. You have, I mean, for her, she had to have a breast surgeon and also a plastic surgeon. So you have to sit down and talk to them, and you have to have a relationship where the doctor is telling you, these are all your options. Option A, B, and C. Option A is do nothing. Option B, C, and D, you know, if you decide to go to surgery, these are the different options that you have. So it's so much information when you first go to the breast surgeon that is overwhelming.
Well, let's woman to woman, if you could. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, I mean, a lot of the things you've described there are things that you, in some sense, have in common with Angelina Jolie. But if you think about her persona and her sense of celebrity and sort of her identity in the public eye as a movie star, the kind of characters she plays, I mean, this decision takes on a whole other dimension. Talk about that a little bit, if you could.
Absolutely. It's funny because, you know, she does a lot of mission work, and I do a lot of mission work myself. And like I said, it's all about life and quality, and you only live once. You don't know if, you know, a truck is going to hit you tomorrow and you're not going to be here tomorrow. So to me, it's important, your quality of life. The fact that she is so giving to others, and the fact that she's coming out, and so many women are going to be able to get some reassurance, feel at ease from what she's doing, just because they're going to be able to look at her and say, my God, if she's so beautiful, she's famous, and she's able to go through this, maybe I can do the same thing. You know, I working on this floor, I saw the patients that had mastectomies here, and what I said, you know, when I was going through my process, I was like, okay, let me just make into an educational opportunity. And I actually had a photographical journal of my entire process. And then I share it now with not only my coworkers, but also I share it with patients that are going through the same thing. And that helps them tremendously. Their anxiety level after surgery, whenever I get to talk to them, it brings it down. So what she's doing the same thing. It's just helping so many other women. And she's so famous, she's going to reach out so much. And it's just amazing that she's doing this.
Well, Gisella Alvarez, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Gisella Alvarez is a charge nurse at Mercy Medical Center in Baltimore. She chose to have a double mastectomy after being diagnosed with breast cancer in one of her breasts. And we're asking you to tell us your stories about how learning your genetic information might have changed your life, caused you to make a decision, difficult decision. We'd love to know the story. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Coming up next, we'll speak to Congressman Keith Ellison from Minnesota's 5th Congressional District on government overreach and a piece of Minnesotan history. The Democrat speaks. Stay with us.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.